good singing, Ma. Good congregation was tremendous as well. I'm glad we do have victory in Jesus, and I'm thankful for His grace. My goodness, I said I'm thankful for His grace. Surely, the day hadn't been so bad that you couldn't say, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Well, I'm telling you, if He just removed His grace from your life for about 5 minutes, you would thank Him for His grace. We get so accustomed to having the goodness of God, we fail and forget to thank Him for it. And, boy, I'm thankful that this morning when I woke up, His mercies were brand new. Not stale, two-week-old mercy, but fresh mercy this morning. And grace that's been sufficient and love that's everlasting. Gospel of Matthew chapter 27. Gospel of Matthew chapter 27 again this evening. I'll go ahead and tell you, I give a little insight this morning about Brother Cliff telling me to preach long. And just to tell you how Baptists operate, you can't please everybody. I already knew that. But tonight, since I've been here, I've had those come to me who tell me that they just wish I would finish one sermon once in my lifetime. In one sitting. Just start to finish. If I have to, even give me some ways to do it. Said, just forget all them different points and just make it all one point and start to finish. And then I had others tell me, I've had a busy day, we need to have an abbreviated service tonight. So I'm just kidding. You know who you are on both sides of that spectrum, and I'm just kidding. But honestly, you can't please everybody, and I'm not trying to. I do try to be balanced. And an old preacher told me one time, the head can't hold more than the seat can take. And that's true. That's true. And so let's get started. Matthew chapter 27. I'll try my best not to re-preach what we did this morning. How many of people are here tonight that was not here this morning? Raise your hand. Okay, a couple. So you'll have to go back and get the CD or listen to our website. I about said my old church name. I about said South Haven Baptist Church. MorningstarBaptistChurch.com. Where in the world did that come from? MorningstarBaptistChurch.com. You can go and listen to that. The message will be uploaded. But let's get started. Matthew 27, verse 36. Let's read together again. The Bible says, and sitting down, they watched him there and set up over his head his accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, and if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. We'll stop reading there in this portion, but I do want to go back in Matthew 16, verse 24, to connect the verse that we'll be dealing with to these. Just a few chapters back, the Bible says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And we said this morning that at least four other occasions, Jesus gives this same exact same admonition and admonishment to different groups of people, whether it was large groups of people in some cases, down to the disciples, down to even just one man. He would admonish these people to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow Him. And so we began a message this morning on the subject, how to carry your cross. And we looked this morning at the first part of the message and the introduction, and then mainly just the first point, and that being the temptation at the cross, and dealt with how Satan was there tempting him. And you heard through the vile, venomous words that were jeering at him on the cross. We even read them, how they were saying, "If thou be the Son of God, if you're God, if," and compared that to Matthew 4, where Satan was there in the wilderness tempting him. And so if you're going to carry your cross, and if I'm going to carry my cross, we must understand first, in order to do so, you must expect and be on the lookout and be ready for temptation, because it will come in your weakest moments. And carrying a cross is a weak moment. Carrying a cross is not for sissies. By the way, being a Christian is not for sissies. And part of being a Christian is carrying a cross. And so we looked this morning, and I'll stop there for time's sake, but we looked at, we must understand that temptation at the cross that you're carrying is a part of it. Number two, the trust of the cross. The trust of the cross. And this is found right here in the verses. Look in, if you will, again in verse 43. There's a very peculiar allegation that's made in verse 43. The Bible said, "He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God." The devil's real good at telling half-truths and not telling the whole story. He started that in the book of Genesis with Adam and Eve. He said, "God has said," and then he changed just a little bit. And look at the mess we're in today with no telling how many different versions of the Word of God that are out there, and how many false copies. There's only one Bible. It's this King James Bible. But the devil, little by little, just a smidget here and a smidget there, changed the Word of God. And that's how he operates. He is a very patient enemy. Now, he will wait, and like a lion. The Bible refers to him as being a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You've all watched the National Geographic and those shows where a lion will be setting, stalking his prey, and over in the bushes, and he'll just move one foot, I mean, so slow, and then he'll pause and wait and wait and wait, and just when the moment's right, just when that small elk, or not elk, but antelope or deer or whatever it's after, one will veer off and get isolated from the pack, or one is weak or sick, that lion is so cunning and crafty that he is patient enough to wait on just the right moment. And the devil is that way. And he will little by little change the Word of God, and little by little give you half the story. Or he don't even mind if he gives you three quarters of the story, long as it's not all true. And a statement that's made in this verse that we just read in verse 43, I've read this over and over, and never have I seen this before until I was studying for this message. And it's a big truth. The Bible said, when they were speaking about Jesus in verse 43, he trusted in God. Now that is a true statement. Jesus did trust in God. And it said he trusted, past tense, he trusted in God. Jesus did trust in God, all in the past. However, that ain't all the story. As some of you Some of you younger ones will not know what this is, but how many of y'all remember Paul Harvey? What was that famous saying he would say? Now for the rest of the story. He trusted in God. They said with such arrogance and confidence and slander, he trusted in God. And I want to go on record and say it's true. He did trust in God. Thank the Lord, he trusted in God. But that's not all. Because, listen, trusted is past tense, as I said. Listen, this is big. And when Jesus hung on the cross, his faith never wavered and fell into past tense, to where he trusted past tense like they were accusing him of. He trusted in the past as if though he wasn't trusting in the moment. And listen to me, you must trust God. If you're going to carry a cross, there has to be a level of trust, and you can't rely on past trust. You can't rely on past victories and past valleys and things that God's done for you in the past. When you're in the moment, I mean when you're in the jaws, when you're in the battle, the heat of the battle, you cannot just worry about what God has done for you. You've got to come fresh and realize right now He's still a God worth trusting. He has been. Thank God. Thank God we can look back at how good He's been to us, how faithful He's been to us. And I'll say more about that in a minute. But these men were saying and giving the indication that He used to, but not now. His trust had not abandoned Him. He was still trusting God just as much as He ever had. Jesus trusted His Father with the cross. Way before he ever got to and on the cross. Jesus knew what was coming. Jesus, though he had never had the nails put in his hand, and though he had never had the crown of thorns on his head and his back beaten, and all that happened, he knew it would happen. He was God. He had infinite wisdom and infinite knowledge. He knew what was coming. The Bible said he set his face like a flint. He knew what he was heading for. He came to die. However, it had never happened. And there, while being on the cross, he was absolutely 100% trusting in the God, his Father, who had sent him there. I'm going somewhere. Hang with me. But it's vitally important that we understand Jesus never, ever, ever failed to trust God. Never. That's why in the garden he had already submitted to the will of the Father. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, I quoted these verses, read these verses this morning, how he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And so Jesus had already trusted. He had already submitted and fully subjected himself to the will of the Father, no matter what came on the cross. No matter how bad it got, he had made up his mind. He was trusting the Father. And therefore, when he got to the cross, he didn't have to make up his mind and to think about it. When the nails began piercing his hands and his feet, his mind was made up. I'm trusting the plan. I'm trusting my Father who sent me here. I've already passed every mile marker. I've already lived every day perfect and sinlessly. I've made it this far, trusting His plan. And I'm going to trust it even when it's hard. Harder than it's ever been before. When it felt like it couldn't get no harder, and it couldn't. He trusted on. That's important. He did not have to reconsider after they dropped that cross down in the deep, dark hole where his beaten, broken body fell and pulled the spikes tied in his hand and feet. And you better mark it down. His trust was not only in the past, but his trust was present tense. Nothing wavering. Amen. I said this morning that we must, if we're going to learn how to carry our cross, we got to learn how Jesus carried His. And that's what I'm dealing with. I'm showing us all tonight how Jesus handled carrying his own cross. And that was number one, by understanding that there were going to be temptation. And he dealt with it and showed us how we could understand and expect and be victorious in carrying a cross even when temptation comes. Number two, in trusting the Father's plan, no matter how bad it got. I said we're going to learn how to carry our cross. We better look at and learn how Jesus carried his cross. And I'll tell you how he carried his cross. By trusting. And there's going to come some times in your life when you're going to feel like the bottom is falling out. And like the sky's falling. And like your whole world's been rearranged. And like nothing makes sense. And your mind can't grapple with all that you're facing. And the finances have dried up. And your child has run away. Hey, are you listening to me? You say, well, my child ain't run away. And I got plenty of money in the bank. Hey, just hold on. There's problems for you too, my friend. And because I'm telling you, there's people in this church that their children are running from the Lord. Their children are far, far out in the world. And they'll go to bed tonight praying and weeping over a child that they don't even know where they're at. And it ought to behoove us to help them bear their burden and carry their load. Because until you felt that, my goodness. Amen. On the other hand, you say, well, my finances are fine. Well, everybody's ain't. Everybody's ain't. So thank God yours are, and don't get bored when I'm preaching to others whose are not. Amen. Amen. We all have issues. We all have issues. I mentioned children running away and running astray and finances, but hey, it could be a bad doctor's report. I just left today the funeral and the receiving of friends of my first cousin. And I walked by and looked at that corpse of a body of one of the strongest, best men I've ever known. And I mean that. I say that honestly. One of the friendliest, most giving, good guys I've ever known. I mean that. And as I went by and hugged Donna and his daughter's neck and told him I was praying for them, and Becky and Jane talked to his daddy, you could just see the puzzled look and the grief stricken in their face, like, how did we get here? We never thought we'd be standing here. I mean, a week ago, our life was fine. A week ago, we never dreamed we never dreamed we'd be burying my husband. We never dreamed we'd be burying daddy. We never dreamed we'd be burying my son. Out of nowhere, life happens and death happens. Amen. And so just because life is fine now, just because your kids are good now, don't mean they will be tomorrow. Just because your marriage is okay now. Hey, listen, while it's good, pray for those whose ain't. Amen. Jesus is showing us how. You say, what's this got to do with the message? I'll tell you exactly what it's got to do with the message. I said, we're going to learn how to carry our cross by how he carried his cross. You know what he was doing? Hey, it wasn't his sin he was there taking care of. It was mine and yours. He was carrying that cross. I refer to it as being his cross, but when in reality, it should have been mine. It should have been yours. It should have been you nailed to the cross. It should have been you nailed to the cross. It was my sin and your sin. So he was there on behalf of every one of us. So life could have been good for him. Life was good for him. And he left the portals of glory where it was perfect. And he came down while we who were was in the doldrums and sin had gripped us and wrecked and ruined us and doomed and damned us to hell. He left the goodness of glory and came down while he was having everything perfect and pure, and they were crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And he left that in a good time to come to us in our worst. So if you up, don't be so up that you can't take time to help somebody who's not. Your time will come. You will bear and carry your cross. It's important. Didn't plan on saying none of that, but it's so true. You can trust Him. What do we learn from Jesus carrying His cross? You can trust Him. You can trust Him. In the Gospel of Luke, He makes this statement, Luke 23:46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit. And having said thus, He gave up the ghost. Here's another word I've never seen. I've read it 100 times or more. I never studied it, never looked into it. He said, into Thy hands. Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit. So what does that mean? The word commend, if you look it up, it literally means to deposit. And I got thinking about that. Deposit, that's a banker's term. And Jesus said, Father, into Thy hands I commend, I deposit My spirit. When I get my paycheck and go to the bank, the same bank that I've used for years, because they have proven, they have a proven track record to me. They've never lost my money. They've never bounced my checks falsely. I've never went to them and them treated me bad. I mean, they've always had my best interest and done me right. Therefore, that's why I still bank with them. And I go without hesitation, and I'll take a check and I'll put it through that window and write deposit on it, fully expecting them to take it and do the right thing with it, and it'll be there when I need it. So what are you saying? I'm saying Jesus said, into Thy hands I deposit, I commend My spirit, because He had full trust in His Father that He was going to take that deposit and do with it. You know why? Because never one time have they lost, had the Father lost what Jesus had given Him. Matter of fact, Jesus even said, Lord, I won't lose any that You give me. I'll hold them all. And listen, you know why Jesus said, into Thy hands I commend or deposit My spirit? Because He knew that anything the Father had ever done, He had done right. He had done pure. He had done holy. He had done without mistake. He had done righteous and pure and just. He had never messed up or lost anything. And I've come to tell you this evening, you can trust Him. You can trust Him. Even when your world's falling apart, even when the cross is heavy, you can and better trust Him. It's the only hope you have if you're going to carry your cross. He's never done me wrong. He's never lost a thing. And God's always had my best interest at hand. Even when it don't feel like it. Even when you throw your hands up and say, Lord, what in the world are You doing? Why, Lord? I mean, right before this, Jesus just cried, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? But then, moments later, Father, into Thy hands I commend, I deposit, I trust You to take all of me. He trusts Him, not just in the past, but right there, in the presence of the cross. Now they said that Jesus used to trust the Father, but I can hear Jesus say to the Father, Father, I still do. I still do trust You. And I want to say tonight, I do too. I still do too, Lord. I trust Him. I trust Him. I think that's what Job was saying. Job 13:15, Job said, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. If He kills me, I'll trust Him. You can trust Him. You can trust Him. Most of us would like to follow the early days of our Lord's ministry, when there was water walking, and when they was the breaking of bread and feeding 5,000 and miracles galore, and we can trust Him when the dead was raised and when the miracles were everywhere and plenteous. But let the crowds disappear and the miracles slow down and get closer to the crucifixion and see how few there be and how many scattered and forsook Him. Yeah. Wasn't many wanting to trust him then. He was left alone. The closer you get to carrying your cross, the more the reality will appear that you, and you'll find out that carrying your cross is going to require that you trust God. And please let me say this. The church is here. Your pastor is here for you. I'll help you any way I can, and I mean that. If I can help you, I will. I mean that. Night or day, call me. If I can help you, I will. But there's going to come times, and there's going to come circumstances and issues that I am limited, and I cannot help you. I thank God for the church. I love the church. I'm a church man. I am 100% with all of its problems, with all of its mistakes, with all of our flaws and failures, I'm still absolutely for the church. But there's going to come times when this church is going to let you down. And you're going to say, I wish my church had been there for me. And the church is going to come up short. And it's usually going to come at the lowest, darkest, hardest moments of your life. If you'll help walk with me toward Calvary's cross, you'll see that even those that were closest to Him that swore they would never forsake Him, that said, Lord, I'd go with You to the end of the earth. I'd die with You, Lord. All Jesus could see of them was their heels kicking up in the sand as they run away. And I'm simply saying, there's some crosses that you'll carry that there's only one person you can trust, because He's the only one who will be there to trust, and that's God. I'd love to tell you the church will always be there for you, that I'd always be there for you. I could help you with anything that ails you. But the truth is, I can't. The truth is, we can't. We should when we can. I will when I can. But I'm just a mere mortal, and so are we. But I can point you to one. God bless you. I don't care what cross you're carrying. I don't care how heavy it gets. It'll never get too heavy that He can't carry it. It'll never get too hard that He can't give you grace. His grace will be sufficient to help you. It was sufficient for Christ to get through the cross, and He carried the cross victorious all the way until He cried, "It is finished," and He finished that cross. And so will you with the help of God. If you'll trust Him. Oh, there's trust in the cross. Thomas Clark wrote this poem. "Where is God?" inquired the mind. "To His presence I am blind. I've scanned each star and sun, traced each certain course they run. I've weighed them in my scale and can tell when each will fail. From the caverns of the night, I've brought new worlds to light. I've measured earth and sky, read each zone with a steady eye. But no sight of God appears in the glory of the spheres. But the heart spoke wistfully, 'Have you considered Calvary?'" When you've looked everywhere else and can't find Him, look to the cross. And you can trust Him. Many of us have wanted to find Him in the miracles and manifestations, in the blessings, in the crowds, when everything's good. But if you're going to find Jesus and the heart of our Father, you will have to look under your cross with your world crumbling and your heart breaking, but still trusting that He does all things well and He don't make mistakes. You'll have to trust Him. So we've looked at the temptation of the cross and the trust of the cross. But finally, in closing, the truth of the cross. If we're going to learn to carry our cross, we've got to come to grips with this reality. The truth of the cross. Look at verse 37. "And set up over His head, his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." They said that in a defamatory way. They said that in a mocking and making fun of him way. And they said this as though this was his greatest defeat. "Hail, King of the Jews." He says he's a king. Let's put a purple robe on him. Let's put a crown of thorns on his head. A king. And you hear them snicker and laugh. "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. This is the King, and here is he is on his cross, naked. This is the King, and here he is with a borrowed purple robe. This is your King, and here he is, and not with a golden crown, but with a crown of thorns. This is the King, but not with a royal scepter, but with a rag dipped in vinegar, hoisted up to his mouth." You see the picture as they mock him. "This is your King," as they laughed and cheered, and all the demons and devils of hell screamed and roared and cheered. And I can just see the old devil himself slap his knee and laugh. "I finally got him. He's defeated. Look at him. King." They made a further accusation in verse 42. The Bible says, "He saved others. Himself, he cannot save." Hey, don't check out on me now. It ain't but 5 minutes till 7. I'm doing pretty good. If you'll hang on, we'll be done in just a minute. But don't miss this part. This part probably blessed me better than any part of this whole message. "He saved others." That's a true statement. Did he save you? You part of that other. But they're making the accusation, "He saved others." He did. Hallelujah. Still is. "Himself, he cannot save." There they go again, telling part half-truths. The truth is, he did save others. And this is true as well. He could have saved himself. Hear me. Don't miss this. But he couldn't do both. That's the truth of the cross. He saved others, but himself he could not save. No, he could. He could have saved himself, or he could have saved others. Ain't you glad he chose to carry his cross and save others? That's how we got in. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, "Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame." Jesus submitted to the will of the Father. Physically, he was broken beyond recognition. Spiritually, he was burdened beyond anyone's ability to maintain and bear. And he will not even begin, listen, we will not even begin to peek into those dark hours where he bore and became the sin of the world. But one thing we know by reading this text, his enemies thought he was finished and defeated. Can you hear them mock him? They knew in their heart, he is done. We've got him. He's finished and he's defeated. But do you know what the truth of the cross is? Hear me, and we're done. This is the truth of the cross. That was the greatest victory that Christ would ever perform. And what they saw as defeat, God in heaven saw as victory. What they saw in a mere moment as he lost For throughout the annals of time, throughout all of eternity, God the Father declared, winner! He's a winner! He's triumphant!
Amen.
That's the truth of the cross. And that's the truth of your cross.
Amen.
When they look at you and say they've lost it, they're defeated, they're done. There's a God in heaven who keeps good record books. And some of the darkest days of your life, there won't be any clapping, there won't be any cheering for you, but God up in heaven will mark it down as being some of the greatest days of your life, some of the most victorious, triumphant days that you ever lived.
Amen.
You'll find out where your hardest, your darkest,
yes,
when you felt the weakest. That's the truth of the cross. Listen to this. This is good. Did you know that every miracle of Christ had an expiration date? He raised Lazarus from the dead. But guess what? Years went by and Lazarus died again. He took bread and broke it and fed the 5,000. And like good Baptists that we knew they were, before the sun went down, they was hungry again. He took withered hands and at some point down the road, that miracle expired. Because when they expired, so did the miracle, and those hands quit moving again. So did the lame legs. Every miracle Jesus ever performed had an expiration date. But listen, what He did on the cross, what He did at Calvary, has no expiration date. When I said it was His greatest day, when I said it was His greatest victory, I meant it. Because what He did on the cross, it never shall end. While the ages roll on, it will go on in infinity. It will go on throughout endless day. Well, I mean 10 trillion years from now. What He done on that day on His cross will carry on beyond. The only miracle that does not expire, and that's the miracle of the cross. Amen. It's a once and for all, saved eternally. It's a forever, continual, abiding work, that work that He did on the cross. And the truth is, what looked like His greatest defeat turned out to be His greatest victory. So are y'all getting this? If Jesus' greatest victory looked like His greatest defeat, then probably ours will too. If His cross made Him look defeated, when in reality it was His greatest, probably our cross will make us that way too. When nobody can see the win but God the Father, whose will it is. When nobody else can see the victory except for God the Father, who values you so much that He was willing to put you on this plan in the first place. I'm saying the truth of the cross is, just like Jesus, yes, it's hard. Yes, it's dark. Yes, it's heavy. But if you will trust Him, if you'll fend off the temptations of the cross and you'll trust Him through carrying your cross, you will grasp the truth of the cross, and that is, if you'll carry it and deny yourself, it'll be the greatest days and the greatest victories of your life. So don't quit. Don't quit. Don't throw your cross down. I close. I think the songwriter had it best. He said, "Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone. And yes, there's a cross for you and there's a cross for me." One of my favorite songs ever, maybe to date. I heard Preacher Kerrigan sing it first. And I went to pastor down in Georgia and moved away and we was gone. But every time we'd come home to visit, we'd come to church over there in the old building, I'd tell him, I'd say, "Hey, preacher, can you sing a song for me?" Yeah. He say, "Yeah, Michael, what you want me to sing?" And I remember saying, "I want you to sing, 'I'll trade the old cross for a crown.'" I want to close by reading these words. "I shall not bear the cross through yon city when the burdens of life are laid down. When I knock on the portals of heaven, I will trade the old cross for a crown. Yes, I'll trade the old cross for a crown when the burdens of this life I lay down. When those pearly gates for me swing open, I will trade the old cross for a crown. Though the cross oftentimes has been heavy, and oft fortune on me seems to frown, but how happy I'll be over yonder when I trade the old cross for a crown. Off my bark has been tossed off life's billows, and each wave tries my vessel to drown, but no storm cloud can harm me forever when I trade this old cross for a crown. Yes, I'll trade this old cross for a crown when the burdens of this life I lay down. When those pearly gates for me swing open, I will trade the old cross for a crown. Every cross that I bear for my Savior will at last, when He calls, be laid down. And my sorrows will be all forgotten when I trade the old cross for a crown. Yes, I'll trade the old cross for a crown when the burdens of this old life I lay down. When those pearly gates for me swing open, I'll trade the old cross for a crown." That's how to carry your cross. Look to Jesus and learn. When the temptations come, make sure you trust and grab the truth of the cross. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, in Jesus' name.